Hello, good evening, good afternoon, good morning. Since this is a global show, I figured out that I would greet from sunset to sunset. This is Walter Latham, and I'm your host, and welcome to the Walt Weekly Podcast Live, Friday Live. I'm joined by my co-host, Michelle Sweeney McCombs, and unfortunately, she's having some work done, and she will not be joining us tonight. But she sends her well wishes to all of you, and thank you. Okay? All right. Today's topic, and nobody, I don't think that we've spent enough time. You know, we had shows on COVID before, but, and we looked at it from the point of view of teachers and, you know, what they want and this and that. But has anybody ever thought about the decisions that parents have to make on whether to send their kids back to school or not? You know, my kids are grown, and my kids, they have to make the decision for their kids, for my grandkids. So in a way, I do not envy them that decision, because thinking about it, I'm a little confused as to, you know, whether I would keep them, you know, remote, or whether I would send them on site to class with masks. All right, it depends on what jurisdictions you're into, what school districts. You know, that may vary, but you may have some crazy districts like, you know, down in Florida, where, you know, Rick DeSantis, the governor, mandated that you do not wear a mask when you go to class. Everybody said, but fortunately, he was stopped today in court. So Ron DeSantis was told that he went over his authority, which is good. All right. So today's show is about the parents. Right, and what type of input is going to go into the decision that you're going to make to send your kids back to school? So we hope that we can contribute and assist you with the information that we've been able to gather of what you should do and what you will feel comfortable about. But there's no level of comfort. You're going to be scared as hell because you want the best for your child. You want them to be safe. You want them to be in a safe environment. So you got so many different variables, even coming out of the CDC. All right, a child can be vaccinated until my over 12. They can be vaccinated, yet and still they still have to wear a mask. All right, or there are no masks. So, with that said, I'm going to turn it over to Greg, and he's going to introduce you to the panel. And it's going to be a skeleton crew, folks. And let me warn you. It's going to be a skeleton crew. Greg?
All right. Thanks, Walter. This week, we have joining us on our esteemed panel is poet and author Judy C. Andrews, and myself, Greg Coleman, owner of Illumination Media and Technology. We're going to chime in on, you know, different perspectives of how parents feel about sending their children back to school during COVID.
All right. Okay. All right. I do want to thank our sponsors. All right. Michelle Sweeney here. All right. Uncle Nephew. He wrote the intro and outro music for our show. I want to thank them both. Okay. So let's move on here now with COVID. Now, as I said, I have grandkids. I raised my kids, and I think that they are informed. They're in a position to make an informed decision about how they're going to handle it. I know I do. My grandkids are 6 and 6, but they were in kindergarten this year. So now they will be moving to the first grade. So I have questions to the panel, about how y'all guys would handle going back, having your kids go on site to class. Now, take for instance, you're in New York, and Greg, you're down in North Carolina. Judy, you're in New York, which is good. All right. Ernest is in Virginia. Ernest just joined us. Thanks, Ernest. So, the first question I have is, you know, we know that school districts vary. their approach to COVID protection and protocols, regardless of what the CDC says. Sometimes they say one thing one day and the next they say something different. All right. And this can run from no mask to wearing masks to school worker mandatory vaccinations. So what do y'all guys think? And I'm going to direct this to Gregory.
Well, you know, initially I think, you know, the parents are in a difficult position. I mean, a really difficult position, because you have two things pulling on you. You have the health and welfare of your children, yourself, your family. But you also have the economic impact of, you know, if you don't send them back to school, then you have to stay home or make some arrangements for them to be home and give them that quality education. And that can be real hard for a parent. So, you know, it's a dilemma, either or. And that's nationwide. You know, then you also, what makes it more complicated is states and local government, you know, putting in their regulations. And that's something that I think on a state level, I don't believe. I think he definitely was heavy-handed, and he went way over his jurisdiction when it comes to that. Telling people not wear masks in school.
That's down in Florida.
Yeah, that's
That's down in Florida, and that was reversed. The courts threw that out and said he couldn't do it. So that's null and void right now. But down in North Carolina, what type of requirements and regs do y'all guys have in place for schools opening?
It's really up to the parent. It's up to the parent. I see at most individual entities, different, each county is pretty much setting the mandate as to, you know, what the regulations are in the school. So I really haven't heard any backlash down here about the kids going back to school at all. I mean, everybody's just falling in the line. You know, most of the kids you see, as a matter of fact, I drove past a lot of children today getting on and off the school bus masked. So I didn't hear any complaints. And so far, so good.
Oh, that's right. That's right. You're in North Carolina. School started already down there, right?
Sure did. Started Tuesday.
Oh, okay. All right, good. So what you're saying is they have an optional mask wearing mandate, basically, right?
County by county, yes.
Oh, so it is district by district. Okay, okay. All right, Judy.
Yes, hi, everyone. In New York State, you know, Governor Governor Hochul pretty much gave the entire state a mask mandate. However, a lot of parents have been protesting, and this is going on around the country as to whether or not children should be wearing masks or not. I personally don't have any children, but I taught in the public school system for 26 years, and I know that if I had a child, I would definitely have my child wearing at least a mask for protection. You know, we already have the CDC guidelines right now, because we have the Delta variant, which is running rampant throughout the United States. We have much of the southern states have vaccination rates that are under 14%, according to the Mayo Clinic and the Children's Defense Fund. Children under 18 years of age who can get vaccinated from age 12 to 18, actually 12 to 17, the vaccination rates in most of the southern states are very low, with Alabama being the lowest, with only 5% of children under the age of 18 being vaccinated. That is really scary, because they can catch this virus from adults. We have 73 million teachers throughout the United States, and 73 million people who are in the education system throughout the United States, and 51 million public school children, with 3.5 million public school teachers who have to go in some states on a mandate in order to be vaccinated. But in many of the southern states, children you know, don't have to be vaccinated. Teachers don't have to be vaccinated. And the rates of vaccination are very low. So there is this consequence of catching this virus, which could be deadly, especially for people who have never been vaccinated. And that we're seeing throughout the United States that many people, you know, are not vaccinated, who are in the hospital, who are, you know, very sick or near death. And we're starting to see the rates of death go up throughout the United States. So I think as a parent, you have to make a serious decision as to how you will do this, because you also, like, you know, you also said about the economic problems that many parents face.
Okay.
So that could be an issue.
All right. Now, I want to go there, but not right now. But we will go there, definitely. Mm-hmm. All right. I want to go to Ernest.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Ernest, the question was, you know, as a parent, what would you do? You know, we're looking at this COVID from a,
I am a parent. I just took my daughter to school this morning. and so in Virginia, and actually in many other places, the problem is not just the economic problem, but there's a low, there's no bus drivers. There's a low retention rate for bus drivers.
Okay.
So that's causing more of a problem even getting the children to and from school. It does offer a buffer, but for me, I would prefer. So I have not crossed with getting my child.
Ernest, I hate to cut you off, but I'm getting a wind noise in the background on you from you.
Hold on.
Okay, there you go.
Is that better?
Much better. Much better. Thank you.
Okay, cool. No problem.
That's okay.
I apologize. I want to make sure we had a good show. So I have not gotten to the point where I wanted my daughter to be vaccinated. And we've had other different, you know, conversations about that. So I think that there is a crux when it comes down to that. I think we have to look at, you know, what are the mandates, you know, and there's a lot of inconsistencies when it comes down to the simple fact that, like, Pfizer has just become FDA approved. But what happens with everyone else who has taken Moderna? Everyone else who has taken Johnson & Johnson? And you have to, you know, ask yourself, well, why have the other ones not been approved yet? So if you've taken Pfizer, I think for most people, they can be probably a little bit more, you know, kind of rest easy a little more.
Yeah, you're breaking up, right?
Waiting for more information to get more consistent. Yeah.
Yeah, I just want to apologize to the audience. We are virtual. So, you know, we will have these problems. Ernest is down in Virginia, so we're geographically dispersed. Okay, so if you can bear along with us. I want to go to Chris. Hey, Chris.
Good afternoon. How are you guys?
Good afternoon. Not bad.
Good.
Yeah.
Go ahead. The children, it's a big issue, right? And I get it, and I understand everybody's apprehension. But I do believe if the parents were more diligent in getting their vaccines, we wouldn't have this problem right now, or it wouldn't be as bad as it is. And it's because parents didn't do what they were supposed to do to protect their children. Not saying that you had to get the vaccine. People didn't want to wear masks. They didn't want to social distance. They wanted to come out. They wanted to party. They fought. So now we're in a position where children are getting sick. They're going to school, and they're getting other people sick. It's a problem, and it's a problem of our own doing. And unfortunately, when you bring a problem to someone else, you're asking someone else to fix that problem, and it might not line up with what you want to do. So in order to protect your children, you should have protected yourselves first.
Okay.
I'm for them with the mask mandate. I mean, what else can we do? It's, you know, I just 2 weeks ago, I lost another friend. to COVID. Oh, goodness. This is real. I don't know what people are thinking. What's the sense of arguing this to this point when, in order for your kids to go to school initially, they have to be vaccinated? Am I wrong? Is that still a process with going to school? Kids have to get their vaccinations?
Yeah, you got to have measles, TB, all those type That's of correct. Shots. Yeah, you got to have those.
There's no uproar with that. Those other five shots we're getting, but this one has just been made so political, and people are so foolish in how they're, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to share this with you. A friend of mine passed away a couple of weeks ago. He was a DJ, and he traveled state to state doing these big parties and stuff. Wasn't vaccinated. He went to New Jersey. They had this party in the park. 18 people died that were connected to that party from COVID. 78 had COVID. 18 of them died within 2 weeks of going to that party. It's serious. How much more do you need to tell you that this is serious? I just don't understand it.
Okay. Well, I heard, and I saw this on the news, there was a parent, and he was saying, I can't see my child wearing a mask for 7 hours a day. Mm-hmm. It's unhealthy. Now, how do y'all guys feel about that? I'm going to start with Greg first.
Like Chris was saying, and I add to the fact that, he makes perfect sense. But at the same time, you have somebody from the state level saying that they shouldn't wear a mask, that they can't wear a mask. And that's more insanity. And then you add that, you go a little lower, and parents. I can't understand parents saying that they can't make their, they don't want to make their kids wear a mask. I'm lost. I really am. I don't, because like he says, this is real. I have somebody, connected to my household that passed away last week, a very close friend to her, and, of COVID. And they were somebody that, said they didn't believe in the vaccine. Well, I hear you, but, I don't understand it. I'm still scratching my head on it. So I can't understand a parent, sending their child out to the wolf.
Yeah, I'm the same way. To me, if you didn't impact or have a potential to impact other people, then I can see you taking that position. All right, with that said, if you take that position, then you should, homeschool your kid or seek to get paid for schooling, your child at home. All right, the government may have some programs out there, but why risk other people for your decision? Because your decision has cascading implications, negative implications, right? Absolutely. So that's my take on it, right? I remember when this the vaccination purge came out, and I was telling y'all guys, because I'm the older of the group, I said, I haven't seen my grandkids, but I'm going to take the shot, guys. And I did. My wife and I, we took the shot, and we were able to see our grandkids after more than a year. So for someone to, just ignore, the threat that they pose or their child poses to other kids and families, because don't forget, if you're a parent and you have a child, you're automatically a multi-generational household. Okay? They can bring it home to you. Mm-hmm. Okay. Right? People don't realize that. And it's just a sad situation. Maybe now, and I'm opposed this to you guys. There's a saying in nature that only the strong survive. So do you think a lot of these people are thinking, beside it being some grand conspiracy, that only the strong survive, so let the weak people die? Do you think that's the case? And I'm going to start with Judy on this.
Well, I agree, first of all, with what you, Walter, and Greg have said. What is the problem? Why are you not able to see the CDC results. I think that a lot of, to answer your question, Walter, I think that a lot of people are just plain rebellious. They have gotten to the point where they don't want the government or anyone else telling them what to do. They have been cursing out, if you look at the different events going around the country, if you, you know, watch the news, they have, many of the people have been cursing out the doctors and telling the doctors off at town meetings. This has been going on for maybe 2 or 3 weeks now, where parents are getting in the face of doctors and nurses and saying, you know, I don't want my child vaccinated. We have certain rights, and one of our rights is to deny getting vaccinated simply because we have that right. Well, you know, we have seat belts. We have laws about smoking in certain places. We have places where you can go to step outside to smoke. You have drinking laws. We have laws about riding in a car. So this particular law affects your life. A mandate will affect your life. If you don't follow the mandate, you suffer, because if you're not vaccinated, you could die. And what I don't understand is why people are not getting this, because they see the news. I'm sure people are watching the news. Maybe they're watching something that is not giving them correct information. And there is a lot of information out there. There was a lady, and I think she was in Alabama, who was explaining she's not going to get the vaccine because you could become magnetized. She read about people being, you know, walking human magnets, and she doesn't want to become magnetized. So where did she get this information from? How did she get this idea in her mind that you could become a walking human magnet?
Well, like President Bush, I didn't mean to cut you off, but let me just say, you know, just that, you know, your point that you just made, but how can this person be? Remember when Bush said, you know, I found out on the internets. So that's where they get it from.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where they get their information. They see it, and they see it, and they believe it. Mm-hmm. All right? So that's where that's going.
And it comes from a seemingly credible source, but, you know, how much of that is just pseudoscience? You know, there's no real science behind it. It sounds legitimate, you know, to a lot of people, but there's no, you know, real science behind it. And, you know, and again, Walter, I'm not going to beat you down about whether you want to take a vaccine or not, you as an individual. But where you take it a step further is, if you don't want to take the vaccine, then do take the necessary steps to keep yourself away from everybody.
Right.
Why jeopardize anybody else's life in something that you don't know? And I don't care how loud you scream. You don't know. You ain't certain. And you could be jeopardizing other people's lives when you say, I'm not taking a vaccine, I'm not wearing a mask, and I'm going out in public, and this thing really don't exist. Well, now you're putting everybody else, you know, in jeopardy. And that's what I have a problem
with. All right. Chris, you want to chime in on this?
Yeah, I just want to add, and I want to reiterate, we had a year and a half where our children were mainly home, right?
Right.
And we had an opportunity to wear masks, social distance, and try to stamp this down where it didn't get to the point where it was going to affect these children. And we failed them in that area. Now, I worked for the city of New York, right?
Right.
And the city of New York is in a position where they have some people that work that are vaccinated or who are following the guidelines, right? And they have people that don't believe in it and don't follow the guidelines. But the city also has a responsibility to make sure people are coming into a safe work environment. It's not just that they're trying to tell you what to do. They have liability. If you come to work, if I come to work and I did everything that I was supposed to do to protect myself, and I still got sick working in the office for the city of New York, maybe possibly I'm going to bring a lawsuit against the city because they didn't protect me enough.
Right.
So people don't really understand just how close to the line this is. They have a responsibility to make sure these children are in a safe environment, because when you drop them off, they belong to them. They're not with you anymore. For 8 hours, they're in a school setting where the teacher, the administrators, and all of these people are responsible for your child. And the moment something happens to your child, you want to raise all kind of hell and say that they didn't take all the precautions or the necessary action to protect my child. So keep your child home if you don't want to wear a mask and you don't want to protect them. Keep them home. But if you send them to a public school and ask these people to be responsible for them, then they're going to do what they think is best for your child.
Okay. All right. Now, I know that there was a release, an update given by the CDC today. I'm just going to read y'all guys the update. Given new evidence on the B.1.617.2 Delta variant, the CDC has updated the guidance, okay? CDC recommends universal indoor masking for all teachers, staff, students, and visitors to K through 12 schools, regardless of vaccination status. So children should return to full-time in-person learning in the fall with layered prevention strategies. So when they, I guess when they say layered, they mean vaccinations and the mask.
Can I say this? People are not totally wrong here. The parents, I don't like to see when parents, there was a parent that tried to rip the mask off of a child's face. I mean, people, some of these people are losing their minds, right? But at the same time, the CDC and the government has been very shoddy with giving out this information, and they're all over the place. And they're trying to please everyone instead of giving it to us straight and telling us what the deal is. That's part of the problem, too. And that's what eroded the trust of these people. They already didn't trust it going forward, but the CDC has been up and down with their messaging.
Okay. Well, you know, I got to give the CDC a pass, because I still don't think they know exactly what they're dealing with. Okay. I mean, even with the vaccines, now they're saying that we got to do a booster. Okay, so a lot of people that have taken the shots, like myself, saying, oh, man, geez, got to take a booster. But then when I sit back and think about it, I think about the freedom, the peace of mind, or the extra layer of security that I felt when I walked outside and when I went to the gym. But the Delta, all right, virus that's out there, this mutation, you know, everybody's getting it. It's about 100 times or so more, and you can double check me, but I mean, the infection rate of Delta is way more than the Alpha that we dealt with last year. All right, so I can understand going getting a booster, because I'm going to definitely get a booster.
But they still, they didn't have to lift the mask mandate. I just feel they did that too soon. And if you're unsure, keep the mandate in place.
Yeah, err on the side of safety.
Yes, that's what they should have done. I'm not saying that they got all the answers, but if you don't have the answers, keep in place what you have. Even if people were vaccinated, they should have told. Listen, if you tell one person to take their mask off, everybody's going to want to take their mask off. Just leave it in place.
I know I did, even going to the gym. You know, until I read more about, I found out more about the Delta variant. Yeah, because when I saw my grandkids, like, you know, when I had no mask, I could give them a hug, I could give them a kiss. There's nothing like that. It doesn't compare, you know, it doesn't compare to FaceTime and all these other video communication tools. You know, so that was in itself worth the shots, you know?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of confusion about mask mandates, because you do have a lot of people who are vaccinated who are going out to different events. You know, 25,000 people at Madison Square Garden, and then you have people at the Barclays Center, 12,000 people at the Barclays Center to watch games and to go to different events. And then you have different organizations like the National Center for Education Statistics has a website. They tell it, they give you a list of states and their plans to reopen the public schools. You also have the Children's Defense Fund. You have local community government that are deciding who is going to do what. And then you have parents who I think should make the final decision. But I think the problem with that is that there are a lot of parents who are just working and have not made the effort or taken the time to look at the scientists, to look at the information from the CDC, which at times can be confusing, and to read more about the different issues affecting the different variants that are coming after the Delta variant, because that's not the only variant.
Well, you know, I can say that a lot of parents are not going to do a deep dive into what's going on with COVID. They're not. I mean, they want plain, simple instructions. So that's one of the things that we need, plain, simple instructions. I think what de Blasio did, and he's the mayor of New York, I think what he did with, there's going to be a mask requirement, okay? And for teachers and other school workers, you're going to have to take the vaccination or you can be tested once a week or twice a week. Well, I like that approach.
Yeah.
That's me now. They're
not even doing that anymore because it's a state mandate now that you don't even need to go for the testing anymore unless, of course, you want to be tested. But the mandate is that everyone who is working in the education system has to be vaccinated. You know, so I don't know how that's going to go over when school begins, but it is going to be an issue for a lot of parents.
Yeah. Now, but that said, Chris, you know, you work for the city. You understand the politics and, you know, how people respond within the unions. What do you think about that?
Well, listen, again, you have a problem. You are bringing people together and you are doing that, right? These people work there. You have to bring them together, and you have a responsibility to make everyone that you bring together safe. That's the city's responsibility. If you go into a building owned and occupied by the city and you fall and you break your ankle, or there's a crack in the concrete or something drops from the ceiling, the city is liable. It's the same theory. Now, the problem that I had with how they were doing it with the Department of Sanitation is they were saying people who were vaccinated don't need to be tested weekly. That's a mistake. It's a bad messaging mistake. If you're testing the people that are not vaccinated, just test everybody. That way, nobody could say you're giving special treatment to one group of people, and people who are vaccinated can pass the virus as well. So test everyone. Don't minimize it. Don't put a number on it and say we're only doing this. Just do them all. So there's no argument. You have to eliminate people's ability to argue and find gaps in what you're implementing. Just make everybody get tested. It can't hurt. It could only make you safer. You understand?
See that approach. Unique. Unique.
Yes, you lose the ability for them to say, well, you can't do that because I'm part of the same union they're part of, and you're not testing them, you're not going to test me. No, we're going to test everyone. And if you want to step in this building, listen, I work for the city of New York, right?
Right.
When I got off work, if I got in trouble, I had to call these people. The first phone call I needed to make was to the advocate. If I got arrested or anything happened to me, they ran my driver's license every single day. They're in my life. And I belong to the city of New York until I retire. Anything that goes on with me, they needed to know about, because I'm an employee of the New York City Department of Sanitation. And when I got hired, I signed over those rights. You have to sign paperwork when you start these jobs, stating that you give them this amount of ability to be in your life. You can't say in the ninth inning, I don't want you to do that. You signed off on that already. People don't understand, they don't read, and they don't comprehend what's going on. And when you work for the city of New York, liability, again, is tremendous, especially with children.
Yeah, definitely. So what you're saying is everybody should be tested once a week.
Yes. Right?
There should be no discrimination against the vaccinated and the unvaccinated.
Yeah, it cannot hurt. Cannot hurt. It could only make the process much easier. It eliminates the arguments. It eliminates people trying to go to court saying you're doing, because people are going to court over this stuff.
Yes, they say.
Oh, yeah. Hey,
you know what I mean? So, hey, we're not excluding anyone. Everybody has to be, everybody from the commissioner down, tested every week. Yes, is it expensive? So is fighting this in court. So is losing people for months at a time because they're sick and they're weighing heavily on the medical system. You know, there are certain jobs now that are requiring people who do not get vaccinated to pay more into the healthcare because you're at risk and you're going to put a strain on it. So they're asking them, hey, if you don't want to get vaccinated, if you pay this amount a month, you got to pay $200 or $300 more a month, because if you go into the hospital and you get sick, it's going to cost us a lot of money to take care of you.
Yeah, that's correct. And many companies are now asking that you prove that you've been vaccinated. And even if you have been vaccinated, you still have to come to work wearing the mask. So, you know, this is not going to go away. People have to realize that we are still in a pandemic. And if we don't make the moves now to get this under control, we're going to have, as Dr. Fauci has explained many times throughout the media, that we're going to have a deep issue come spring of next year, as well in the fall of this year. So I think people need to get serious about this and follow the guidelines, specifically the parents, and stop making it a personal civil rights issue. This is an issue about your health, and this is an issue about life or death.
I'm not, one of the things that kind of alarms me, well, I don't know if alarm is the right word, but it's just noteworthy to me. I can remember the numbers that President Biden was quoting, you know, at his inauguration, what he'd like to see, the percentage of the population that he would like to see vaccinated at a certain date. Now, if any of you guys remember what those numbers were, please fill me in, because right now, I mean, as of June 27th of this year,
yeah, great,
we were at 40-something percent, and now we're only at 58%, 60 days later. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't know when we'd be reaching that 80% herd immunity, but you know, people's resistance to taking this virus, to me, makes that happen, you know, drags that on and makes it like it'll never happen.
Yeah, well, Greg, I was on mute. I'm sorry, man. Yeah, but what Biden said was 70%, mm-hmm. All right, by July 4th. Okay. Uh-oh. All right, so it's 64, it's about 64, 68% now.
Well, that's people with one shot, but fully
right, at least one, at least one,
yeah, 51%, right. I believe, or 55% of fully vaccinated.
What I was going to say, and I'm going to go back to Chris's point, you know, with the vaccinations, I don't think it's fair that, and Chris, I mean, I know we already passed this, but I don't want to beat a dead dog here, right? But I'm going to go back and say that I don't think it's fair for someone to be vaccinated to have to take a test and the unvaccinated don't. I think there should be a separation between the people that take the vaccination and the people do not, that don't.
Now you sound like the people that I don't think it's fair for you to make me wear a mask. If you have to be slightly inconvenienced to be safe, what is the big deal? So what? You are vaccinated and you got to get tested weekly. So what? Because now, even though you're vaccinated, you may not get symptoms, but you may be transmitting the virus as well.
That's true. That's true. If you're vaccinated, you can share it. That's true.
Walter, I think that's the point that jumps out to you. If you still able to spread that virus, you got to get tested. So, I mean, whether you're vaccinated or not, if you have the ability to spread it, we got to know whether, you know, you have that virus or not.
And again, my heart breaks for the children.
People who are vaccinated.
No, I was just going to say.
Can still get the virus.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Now, Chris.
I was just going to say, heart breaks because we have forced our children to be in this mix when we could have taken care of this much sooner. Unfortunately, now, they are part of this process. Children are dying. And they're coming down with it.
Okay. Now this is this is a stat. Now before you go any further, all right, from about 38,000 cases per week, I'm talking about kids, at the end of July, for the week ending August 19th, there was 180,000 cases of COVID in children. Okay. Now, that is going to change a lot of minds. So when it gets to the kids, our kids, these people that advocate no mask, no vaccination, they're going to change their minds. That will change their minds when they see their kids sick and dying.
Let's hope. Mm-hmm. And school is not fully opened yet all over the place. Those numbers are surely going to go up.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. Because they're going to be inside. And that's where COVID, from what I understand, what I read, is that's where it spreads, when people are inside. So in the wintertime, right, people are inside.
Right. And then they're coming back home to their family, and that's going to spread even more. You know, so we have an issue if we don't get it under control for the month between now and the time children actually return to the New York City public school system. We're going to have an issue. Not just an issue, many issues.
Okay. And this is a question that, you know, I don't want to miss this. Is the vaccines will be approved by the end of the year, think about December, January timeframe from what I've been able to read and understand, for children under 12 years old. So if you got a child under 12, let's say in my case, I got two granddaughters, all right, and they're both 6 years old. Now, should they get the shot or not? Should they get vaccinated or not? What do y'all guys think?
I think
for children under 12,
they have to speak with their family physician, and they have to look at their own individual health needs and make that decision based on their health needs, because every child is different. So you have to be able to have the parents' involvement as well. You know, what are the health concerns for your child? What can you do to help your child maintain a healthy existence during this time? And that has to be done with the doctor. You can't just make it. You can decide, you know, what's best for your child, but you really should talk to the family doctor.
Okay. Anybody else?
Yeah, well, I also want to say, me and you are in a different boat. I'm just being honest. Because earlier you said that it was nothing greater than being able to hug and kiss your grandkids.
That's right.
And for me, I feel the same way. But not everybody is a grandparent. So they don't have that same feeling. They don't have that same understanding and longing to see children that they love dearly, and they couldn't go see them. So they don't understand it. When you're not in that position, you don't get to see it. Now I'm a parent of adult people. My daughter has a son who's 4. I can't make that decision for her.
Yeah,
that's a decision that she needs to make for herself.
That's true.
Because I don't want to say something and her son, you know, that's why I keep saying that as adults, we should have done better and our kids wouldn't be in this position. It's a tough place for us to be right now, because this is a really hard, hard decision to make.
but it's going to have to be. And again, we put municipalities in the middle of our parenting because we didn't do what we needed to do. And now we want to send them off to these people and tell them, I'm going to give them to you, but you're not able to tell them what to do. It's a tough place to be in. This is a real problem for us. And I don't even see some of these school systems like New York. I don't even know what the policy is for kids yet. They haven't even come out with it.
I think, wasn't this the one where de Blasio came out with masks and then for teachers, vaccinations or proof of testing once a week?
Right. They were supposed to be tested once a week. Right. Once a week.
Yeah,
testing.
He said that now it's mandatory for the teachers and the staffing to be vaccinated, but he didn't make a ruling on the children.
And he did. He did. He did say masking. He said masking for every child.
Masking for every child.
Yes.
People
Kathy Hochul also gave a state mandate, you know, that has gone into effect now for masking for every child in the state of New York.
Again, what's the backup plan to that? They can't go into this.
Every locality has to create their own. That's the issue. That's the problem. Every locality.
But they can't go into this like they did a year and a half ago, and they don't have backup plans, and they don't have a clue. And these kids are all going to be in school, and the next thing you know, they're going to have to pull the plug on everything. Because that's where we're headed. Again, pulling the plug on everything and telling people to stay home again.
Well, I know that each locality, each school, each specific school community has a plan. They have to have a plan in place before school begins. So some schools might decide to continue remote learning or a hybrid plan where they go in. Some students come in on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Other students come in on Thursday, you know, and they pretty much have to decide how are they going to establish goals for the year with remote learning and in-class learning. So I believe that most schools do have a plan, but will the parents follow it? Will the parents be able to follow it if they work? How will the students be dropped off and picked up? Who will do that? Where will the students go after school? So those things, some schools who have the resources can
some background noise,
but other schools cannot. So that is where the issue is going to be a problem. Where the issues will come into play.
All right. Now, did I get an answer to a question that I posed to you guys? All right, about only the strong survive. That some people believe that the weak will die off, thereby leaving the strong. You know, that's one of the first rules of nature: self-preservation. All right. So I want to ask Chris. Yeah, I want to ask Chris. What do you think about that? I think that a lot of I wouldn't say Republicans. But a lot of them, they believe in that, only strong survive. So that's just the way it is. We don't need masks. We don't need vaccinations.
Who gets to determine that, one? And two, many of those same people that have made those statements are dealing with problems either with themselves or very close to them. So you got to be careful when you want to say only the strong survive, because this virus attacks people in a very different way. Not everybody. Some people have problems with their lungs. Some people have memory loss. Some people have long-term fevers where they can't shake them. It doesn't attack everybody the same way. So, you might think that you're a strong and fit and healthy person, and you don't know that you have some underlying thing going on with you, and this thing attacks you. I don't believe in the strong help everybody. We lift each other up. That's part of the problem. And I think there's a lot of people out there that don't want to see this thing. It's unfortunate, and I hate to say it. Like, if we come out of this, it's almost like it's a victory for Biden. This has nothing to do with political stuff. This is trying to get everybody right so we can continue and go about our business and live our lives. It's just gotten so conflated with politics and all kinds of foolishness.
Yeah, if we can just keep the politics out of it. Because I was looking at this mask mandate. They said, at least 17 states, many of them with Democratic governors, have required masks in schools. And this was according to the National Academy for State Health Policy. And at least seven states, many with Republican governors, Ron DeSantis and Greg Abbott, all right, they have banned or nullified mask mandates in schools. So, I mean, I think the latter, they're basically, okay, there's nothing out there, guys. If you get it, you get it. If you don't, you get, you don't. Now you've even heard, I believe he's a congressman from Texas. Y'all guys check me on this. He said that, you know, the virus was being spread by black folks because they don't take their shots. And they're the most vulnerable.
Yes, he did say that.
That did you hear that?
Most people that are unvaccinated are African Americans, and right. They're Democrats. So the Democrats are blaming the Republicans, and which he's totally. But again, these are the games that they play. Politics, getting you off the topic, talking nonsense, using race to incite people and get people upset so they don't really deal and push these people to make a decision and do what's right. Ron DeSantis is gambling with his future on this. He bet it all on COVID, and he's losing right now because his state is a mess.
Yeah, the districts are ignoring him. All right, and don't forget, he lost in court today. All right, the court said he doesn't have that authority.
And this comes from a Republican who says big government shouldn't be involved in states' business, but yet he wants to be involved in the municipalities. You know, he's talking out of both sides of his face.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people are not listening to him, though, in the African-American communities and the communities of color, because that is where the strong will survive and the communities of color will suffer more. So that's been an issue all along with this virus. You know, people of color are passing away at a greater rate than, quote unquote, the strong who are surviving. And even the strong who did survive were able to have access to health care that many people who are unfortunate could not have access to health care, be able to survive. They weren't able to just get a shot or a vaccine. If they went into the hospital, maybe there were no ventilators for them. So we know who's going to survive and we know who's going to suffer. So yeah, it's important for our communities to really get involved and really read the guidelines, follow the guidelines. Otherwise, we are really going to be in a lot of trouble in 2022.
Walter.
Yes.
I mean, most of the people you hear say, you know, only the strong survive, usually, you know, it's usually coming from somebody promoting their own self-interest. I mean, that's some of the most barbaric caveman stuff. You know, that ain't even biblically sound. Yeah. There's a part two to only the strong. The strong are going to survive, but they're also obligated to help out the poor, the sick, and the less fortunate. That's how it should be, society.
Yeah, that's how it should be. But you got a majority of conservatives that they do not follow that philosophy.
Well, I mean, but you know, again, that's problems we have with certain factions of conservatism. They talk it, but they don't walk it.
None yeah, and they're the first in church.
They don't believe in what they're talking. You know, they like to quote the Bible, but when you catch them on it, none of that lines up biblically. So it's all, they're blowing smoke. Just like, they're blowing smoke.
And let's not make this a Republican only, because there are a lot of people on both sides of the political line that think the same way, you know, and we can't measure this virus by only the people that died. We also got to look at it from this perspective. There are people who survived this, but they are going to have a long way to go in healing. And those people need to be counted in a way where it also brings people's, you know, gets people attention. Because, you know, the deaths, yes, those numbers count and people see that. But there are a lot of people that are surviving getting this virus, but are really struggling to move forward in life. They are not the same person they were before they had that virus.
Yeah, that's that long COVID. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, they go months.
Think about the people that didn't get COVID, but are negatively affected by somebody that did pass from COVID. Either, you know, depended on them for income or, you know, but just, you know, emotionally. So, yeah, it's not just the people that die of COVID that are affected. It's people, you know, their families, friends, people that were dependent on them. I mean, this is
absolutely left behind kids.
Yeah.
Right. Left behind kids.
Right. Okay. Well, you know, I think that, you know, on one hand, that we're in the same spot that we were in 2020. And we're heading there, you know, with everything being shut down. All right. And even though we got an uptick in vaccinations now, I think there could be another mutation that will close us down for a while. That's what I'm thinking, unless people get off their tails and go get vaccinated. And that's my take on it. People need to get vaccinated, right? So with that said, I'm going to turn it over to Greg. And Greg, you want to take us out? But first, from the panel, y'all guys have any closing thoughts that you want to share with us?
Please get vaccinated. Please wear a mask after you've been vaccinated. And please make sure that you tell your family and friends to do the same thing before you hang out with them at a party or a club or an event.
All right. Thank you, June. Chris?
I just want people to know, just as hard as we're fighting to defeat this virus is a living organism, and it's fighting to mutate and survive as well.
Right.
And we need to do everything that we can to stay ahead of this. I wish everybody the best, and I hope and pray that we get through it.
Okay. Greg?
My final thing is, don't just think about yourself. Think about the people that you share this planet.
All right. Well said. All right, Greg, I'll let you. We're pushing up against the clock. We want to try to keep the show to 1 hour, folks. I want to say thank you, everybody, for joining. Hopefully you were able to get something out of this. And, you know, I just want to pray for all of y'all guys that have kids that got to make the big decision. This could be one of the biggest decisions in your life of whether to send your kids to school and how you send them to school. And it's a very, very important matter. I know I don't have to say this to anybody, okay? But on September, I do want to add, on September 27th, no, the 17th, Greg, if I'm not mistaken, right? We're going to look at this issue from the teacher's perspective. That way we will have teachers on the show to talk about COVID and the impact on them with the return to school, okay? All right, with that said, I'm going to turn it over to you, Greg.
I want to thank our panel again. Thank you, Judy C. Andrews, Christopher Sweeney, Ernest Robinson, for coming in the clutch.
Yeah. Wait. Ernest, he got married yesterday, folks. But let me just give him a
congratulations.
big shout out to Ernest.
Yeah, give my regards to your wife.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Brother. That's and beautiful.
Let us know when you're going to have your first dinner. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Congratulations to you.
Well, again, this has been the Walt Weekly Podcast Friday Live. And, of course, our sponsor is Michelle Sweeney Hair. And the intro and outro music by Uncle Nephew. We want to thank you again for joining us. And we will definitely be back next week with another Friday Live.
All right. Thank you. Thanks, everybody. Have a great weekend.
You.
Love you all.
Same
all right
to
now.
You. Stay
bye
safe.
Bye.
Peace.
All right.